episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp, Native, and Dame products.
This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Drop it. Inner Hole Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, who is almost well-rested, but not quite, and whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, Black, pansexual, maybe polyamorous, not even sure anymore. We'll see. Okay. Whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. And my pronouns are she and they.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, almost said they.
She want to come to the home team real bad.
Pronouns she and her, who is a demi-omnisexual who forgot that we did intros for this show.
It's been a while. It's okay.
Well, after a few weeks off, we are still very much in vacation mode, but we're back for the next 2 weeks to give you a very special Ask Us Anything / Summer Update episode of Inner Hoe Uprising. Two episodes back to back, like that Drake song. Usually, every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. But on today's episode and next week, we'll be answering some of your burning questions about Inner Hoe Uprising. We'll be answering questions like, how do we maintain a good friendship while co-hosting a podcast? How did we all meet? Whom all is fucking? Whom all is not fucking? And who was that white man? And much, and much, much more.
That is the burning question.
Much, who was much that white more. Man? I also want to say that we do have a fourth co-host, Rob, but they are working for the next 2 weeks, and so you will check them when they get back. So yeah, all that and more, but first, the world is speeding toward hell in a panbasket. Am I right?
You're right.
I think right. I agree.
I'm sure you're not taking that news lightly, so we got to talk about mental health because this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Is it perhaps the fact that you are living through a devastating major historical event every month or so? Yeah, we can relate to that. Yeah. We can relate to that. We can also refer you to our favorite online therapy service to help sort out some of the apocalyptic feels that we're all feeling during these unprecedented times. So that service is called BetterHelp, and BetterHelp will help assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Not to mention, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Hole Uprising, want you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily, and while you're at it, you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Once again, special offer for Inner Hoe Uprising listeners, that is you all right now. You can get 10% off your first month by going to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/I as in inner, H as in hoe, U as in uprising, BetterHelp.com/IHU. Now it's time for you to ask us anything. And I'm going to say this for the first time, but you guys always say it. But since I'm already talking, I'm going to say it. If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so that we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so that other people can see it. I think I did that pretty well.
I think so.
You did.
Thanks, y'all. All right. First question we got from Brother Romy. Brother Romy asks, how is everyone? How is everyone?
Ooh, I'm sick.
Uh-oh. You are sick in this very moment.
If I sound a little bit congested, I am sick. I have period cramps. I am alive, though. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to a lot of big changes that are happening in the future. I don't know if I said this on the show about, like, getting surgery, but yeah. Definitely doing that, and that you guys will be noticing some changes, and we'll see. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think you talk a little bit more about that in the next episode. Just gotta keep pulling them along. Keep giving us your fucking listens, niggas. All right. Akua, how are you doing?
I am good. On the surface, I am good. I am well rested. I am happy. But underneath the surface is a little bit of financial anxiety. Mm. You know, anxiety, homegirl sits with me. She don't ever leave. Mm-hmm. She just be there sometimes. Sometimes I take back seat, sometimes I take front seat. Mm-hmm. But a little financial anxiety and a little, I was anxious about, okay, so backstory. I'm changing over jobs because... Mm-hmm. My man got two jobs. Like, I just be quitting. I don't got no man, but that's my saying. Think Rochelle from Everybody Hates Chris. So I'm switching jobs, and I'm in that weird space of no health coverage. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the other day where I realized I got to get my antidepressants. Like, mm-hmm. I need my meds.
Yeah, yeah.
Who going to pay for that if I don't got no insurance?
Yeah.
So I was a bit anxious. Like, I can't go.
Yeah,
I can't go without my medication. Okay. How am I going to do that? Can I afford that? And I spoke to Rob about it, and they gave me good advice. But today I went to Rite Aid. Rob's advice was to call different pharmacies and see what the price is, mm-hmm. and whatever is the lowest and whatever you can get discounts on, you know, get as close to something that you can afford. And I was like, thanks, big homie.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with the pharmacy that actually holds my prescription, and I picked it up today for $23. And I was like,
yeah. Wait, so just for context, what was the most expensive quote that you got?
The most expensive quote was actually from a different Rite Aid, mm-hmm. and they quoted me $140.
Mm.
I would say one big piece of advice, they will not offer you a coupon, but they have access to all the coupons. So all you have to say is, do you have a coupon? And then the price will change 100%. Mm-hmm. I see it happen all the time where it's just like people are quoting them like egregious prices, and mm-hmm. you're not allowed to say, but you can get a coupon here, here, and here. You have to wait till they ask you, and then they'll give it to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's advice for anyone. If you're looking for medication and cash price, say, do you have a coupon? Because we, as people who work in the pharmacy industry, have access to this whole database of coupons, but we can't offer it. You have to ask.
Shout out to the tips and tricks over there from our local pharmacist. Cool. Okay. Well, glad to hear that you're doing surface level good and that some of your financial anxieties have been a bit alleviated.
My financial anxiety is completely illogical because I also learned that the government been giving me money every month and I didn't realize.
Oh, for having Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that. What is it, extra $600 or something?
No, it's two something. And I remember seeing it, and I'm like, the IRS is giving me money, but I ain't finna tell nobody because they gonna want it back.
You were stealing.
And I was gonna steal quietly too. I was like, I'm gonna collect those dollars. And then I spoke about it with a friend yesterday. They're like, I remember getting the letter from Joe Biden with his name signed. I was like, I don't know what this is, so goodbye. Like, he didn't look into it. I was like, it said I didn't have to do anything extra, so I said cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't really look into what he was telling me. Mm-hmm. I didn't
read it. We got that baby, and we gotta protect the babies. We gotta cover them in cash.
We gotta feed them.
Cool.
How are you, Sam?
I'm doing very well. I'm having a great summer. I am having a really fun time. I do feel quite well rested. I made a joke at the beginning that was like, oh, I'm not well rested. It's just because I have another vacation to go on next week. So that's why we're doing like this bullshit episode, because we have ads, to be honest. I'm having a really good summer. I feel very fulfilled in many areas of my life and things like that. And I'm ready to hunker down again and kind of like get back to work, which is not like me saying like I love capitalism or anything like that, but I do love the work that I do, and I'm ready to, like, because I took most of the summer off, so I've been working like quarter time, part time. But I'm ready to make all the money that I spent back. I've been going to a lot of places, and yeah, just like express myself creatively again, because I do feel rejuvenated in a sense. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yay!
I'm happy to hear that.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, question two. Which is a similar question, but I felt like it was a different angle. How was the summer break from Big Natty? And Big Natty says, rest is essential.
Summer break from the podcast? It's always refreshing. Mm-hmm.
We hate this show, guys.
We hate it.
We hate, y'all. We hate each other. We hate the show. We hate the topic.
I don't even know why we're here, but...
No, but for real, yeah, Big Natty said it, rest is essential, breaks are essential, and I think that every time we take this summer break, I come back ready to do it. Like, I was so excited to hop on this microphone, but it's like always, it's a short break, you know. Sometimes I forget we come back in August and not September, because my mom said we taking the whole summer off. Mm-hmm. And Sam's like, no, we're back in August, girl. We can't push it to September, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sam was like, no, but inner Sam was like, all right, next year I think we're gonna do like a full June 15th to September 15th, like we're back in fucking high school situation. Ooh, yeah, because yeah, like I do obviously enjoy doing this podcast. I've been doing it for like going on 6 years now, but I think the more longevity, the more breaks that you need, or the more mm-hmm. breaks that I need personally. And then like in terms of, because this podcast is labor, but like the labor that I do for like my day job, I only really stopped like towards the end of July when we went away to North Carolina. So I don't really feel like I've had an extended period of time not doing this and something else. And that's like mm-hmm. really what I need a break from. So yeah, I mean, it was good to have a break though.
It was fantastic. I feel like I feel like
that I have the CDs, bitches.
Nah, yeah, I was like, damn, I gotta get on this Zoom call and look at these motherfuckers again. Nah, it's for me, it's just the same thing that you guys are saying. It when you take a break, you realize how much you love doing something all over again because you haven't mm-hmm. been doing it. But then also you just realize how like little sleep you've been getting as a person in general. And you're like, I think it's because we call it a break. I'm like, okay, now I can actually like pause and feel mm-hmm. like I'm doing something for myself. So I think definitely, it's been great and I'm glad to be back though. Yeah. Glad to be back. And we took a vacation together. So that was nice when we all took a break, but then we were just like, let's take a break together. And that was nice. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved our vacation together. And I just want to ask, I know, no, life is not feasible, but can our breaks also be a vacation together? Like, I love
Oh, like as a tradition?
I like yeah, that. Like yeah, we schedule I mean, that.
Usually I always had like trips that I would always want to take. Like I always like to take a trip with Kua and the girls from high school and stuff like that. I always would like to take a trip with like whoever I was romantically seeing at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I always wanted to take a trip with like my family. But now we have IHU trips. So now I need to, you niggas need to like pay more on Patreon, and I need to like move up in terms of how much I get paid. Because yes. That's like five fucking
that's
trips.
Bad different vacations.
And I also want to start adding solo trips into my yearly routine of trips. So paypal.me/innerhoe.
I'm still kind of like, it's so weird. Like I was a flight attendant, but for some reason, the idea of taking a solo trip is still so daunting for me because I would want to go somewhere like exotic or something.
Iceland.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, you know I want to go to Iceland, but we already said that, you know,
after you recover, nigga.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I definitely want to go to Iceland, but I really want to go to Japan. I've always wanted to go, and it's just one of those things I always say, and I'm just like, maybe I should just go by myself, but it's just so intimidating. But I feel like it would be kind of liberating too, so maybe that is something I should try to really kind of go towards, and I will let you guys know about that and really talk about that, because that'd be fun. It'll be a whole ass trip. I promise you that.
I'm sorry. Did you say whole ass or whole ass?
A whole ass and a whole ass. Both of them. Yep. Both of them.
I dig it. I'm a fucking fan. All right. So now we have question three from Rush3. That's kind of ironic. Anyway, or coincidental.
Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh? Mm-hmm. No. Wait, who said that? Akua?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No. But it's the only name that came with Rush.
This is what happens when you don't know white people. That is like an egregious racist man who also died recently, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have
known.
Okay. All right. Rush Heatree says, how can we all continue being hoes with COVID going on? Loaded question from Russ Heatree. Are you purposely on mute, Rodeca?
No,
Oh.
Yo, to not answer the question and be like, plead the fifth.
I gotta go.
I only fuck with vaccinated niggas. And I start.
You gotta put
there.
That on the t-shirt. Gang, gang. Okay. Fully vaxxed.
First of all, because we already got too many problems if that's something that I have to, like, negotiate with you about. Like, we don't even do that. But at the same time, like, still get tested regularly, still making sure that we out here not, you know. When I got sick, I was like, let me go get tested. And I don't have COVID. I just got the flu. Not the flu. I just have a cold. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just making sure you're being safe and, like, vaccination first and having these conversations. Like, I think at one point in time, for some reason, I was scared to ask people to get, like, COVID tested to, like, meet up with them. So I was just like, I trust them, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what that was about. Mm. But, like, now we all went through this. You're not about to sit here and tell me that you're hesitant to be tested or you haven't found. No, we're going to do this. And you already know the deal. When are you hanging around people who are sick? Are you doing it? And that's just, like, standard conversations that we need to be having off rip. And I mean, I haven't stopped, so we out here doing what we gotta do.
Yeah. I think for me, vaccine first and foremost. But also, you know, there's like the fact that you can be around people who are not vaccinated, which that's a conversation that you need to have in your personal lives with the people who are around you who are not vaccinated. But like be mindful that even if it is you hoeing with other vaccinated people, you can still be like asymptomatic carriers or whatever, or breakthrough cases. So like keep that in mind when you're going towards people in your community who might not be vaccinated, you know, so either like don't do it, get tested, quarantine, mask up outside, all of those kinds of things. But yeah, I think it's still possible to hoe based on your level of risk, because at the end of the day, you're still taking a risk. But yeah, that's kind of hoeing in general.
Yes, and we always, you know, advocate for hoeing responsibly here. Yeah. You know, Hoe Uprising.
Yeah.
So I agree with everything they've both said. I've recently been talking to people mm-hmm. and linking up with people, and it was so funny to me how like COVID testing just became a part of the "are you tested" conversation.
For all
you
got
for all the things. And I noticed that, and I paused and I was like, oh, this is funny. But also only really fucking with vaccinated people.
Yeah.
And being mindful of my, you know, of my risk, because my son's not vaccinated, so I gotta keep that in mind
because he's under 12, right?
Yep.
Yeah, 12. One of the cool things that I've witnessed during this whole time is that I don't know if other dating apps have it, because I don't use other dating apps, but Hinge has the vaccinated thing now.
Yeah, they all do.
Oh, cool.
They all
do.
Hinge is the only one that I still have left because, well, I don't know if I need to get into this later or not, but getting back into the dating scene is not fun. And I don't. It's not like y'all haven't been saying it. It's not like I haven't been hearing y'all say it. But then
I'm having a good time these days.
You know. Yeah.
I understand.
I think I tried a couple of apps and like I've gotten a lot of the "yo, what's your favorite color? All right, cool." But what that mouth do though? Yeah. I've gotten a lot of that. And I'm just like, we're not having conversations of any kind. Like it's always the same roundabout, "hey, you look nice, but those lips look nice." And I'm like, wow, I'm gonna block you now. Thanks. We're having a good time. But I don't know. At the same time, I'm like also okay with that, because it kind of made me go, I don't even want to be doing this anyway. I want to be chilling and doing all type of stuff. So it was almost like humbling. It was like, bitch, you know you wasn't supposed to be on these apps anyway. You were supposed to be sitting at home reading a little meta-human book, trying to get higher and be like, I don't know. But yeah,
go inward.
Yeah, exactly. So it made me delete all the other apps except for Hinge. Hinge has really quality people. I don't know what it is, but it's just like a different breed over there. So I was just like, let me stay on there. And it's
a different breed. We sound like fucking eugenicists. <And so, laughs>
It's too many episodes where we're talking about science and selective.
Recipe saying breeds. That's not funny. I think that Hinge, quick tangent on Hinge, I don't think that it has more quality people because I've seen some not so quality people on there. I think it has better algorithms. Like, okay. We were just talking about this on our Zoom hangout or whatever. Shout out to the Patreons. But, like, I went on a date with someone from Hinge yesterday who also fantasized about the apocalypse. Like, that's a very fucking specific thing to do.
Yeah.
I feel like when you tell it what you like, it gives you what you like back, right, as opposed to other apps who are just like, here's the niggas who want to fuck you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what was the question again?
The fact that we all got quiet and I was like, shit, am I the only one who doesn't remember what we were answering?
No, we all answered.
Yeah, how to hoe responsibly. We all answered.
I said, still on vacation.
We're trying now. We are trying.
All right. Okay. Fourth question. Rose from Concrete. Your thoughts on submitting to a partner in a relationship? Guy I'm seeing wants this.
I don't understand the question.
Okay. To be fair, I think this was filtered through that Instagram questions thing, and you can only write but so much.
You know, so sometimes some things gonna need some context. Feel free to DM us or just write in to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. But like, are we talking like a BDSM thing, or is this like a monogamous man wants me to be a submissive, docile woman foolishness?
Maybe I took it as that. Yeah, we can answer as both. I took it as that because I felt like if it was kink, it would be specific.
I took it as BDSM.
Oh, okay.
I took it as kink immediately, mainly because, like, I've been going to play parties more often, there's a lot of, like, little communities. There's a lot of, like, houses, and people are just, like, very
much claiming. These niggas got Hogwarts houses out here?
They do. Like, it's lit. Like the Love House, the Pleasure House, Lotus Experiences. These are all things that are, like, real that I've, like, everyone has their like groups and their members and but a lot of people claim to be like doms when really they're just people who like to take advantage of people sometimes, and I'm just like, please don't do this. Like, I've been very big on making sure you're vetting people and talking to them and making sure they're actually about this life as opposed to just saying it because they want to say it. So when I saw submitting to a partner, I was like, my own first thing is that what you want?
Because
do you want to be submissive? I have a lot of trouble with that because I feel like I've been getting a lot of people saying that I'm not submissive enough, and I'm like, I never subscribe to that. I don't even know what I am, but like, why would, that's not something that I ever said that I was going to introduce myself to be doing, you know? So it's very much, what do you want first? And then I guess your thoughts on it, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if that's what you want, if that's what you enjoy, and if that's how your relationship dynamic works, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the first thought is making sure you're not doing it for another person and making sure that it's what you feel like you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like another part of that is, I agree with what you just said completely. Another part is like doing research for what that means and what that means to you, and having like some deep moment of introspection. Not even if you want it, but like, what would it look like? Because I think the fact that you're asking in the first place is like, I don't really know how this would shake out. So definitely take like mad time to like sort that out before even thinking about whether you want it or not. Like, what is it? Also talk to the person about what their expectations are for it.
I feel like all of that's in the kink realm, and I agree. And there are resources floating in my head that are not coming to mind to actually say. So if you would, you can email us and I can like help you with resources that have helped me. If we're not talking about like a kink thing and we're just in a relationship. I mean, I feel like the dynamic is still the same. In that it's just a relationship in which he wants you to be less. Well, they, I don't know.
The guy I'm seeing.
Okay. If he wants you to just be less assertive, like, is that him trying to exert dominance over you, to change you, to make you malleable? And is that a person, you're not a right fit for him if who you are as a person he feels needs to be toned down? So think about that.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he wants you to submit, but has he shown qualities that you can trust him and submit?
Good point.
About this person. I always say that men always want, you know, to submit. They want to take the lead, but then will lead you right to hell. Like, you not about to, no. Can you lead? What have you shown me that says that I could take the step back sexually, kink-wise, romantically, whatever, and trust. Can I trust your judgment? Mm-hmm. Nigga, do you ask for instructions? Like, I need to see something that says I can trust this person and know that I'll be okay. You know, I trust Sam with my life. I done gave her valuable life documents. Never asked her why. She was like, can I get a picture of your passport? I said, cool, here. Like, I didn't know what she was about to do with it. If we were talking about this in the Patreon earlier, about the apocalypse and how me and Rodecca have chosen to sit and die. But, you know, if I had chosen to put up a fighting chance, who would I be with? Sam, you know, and those are qualities, though she's my friend and not a partner, those are qualities I'm going to look for in a partner who I want to submit to. Yeah. Can I trust you? Can I trust your judgment? Can I trust that you will not abuse me?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a super huge deal.
I was also, I'm going to tangent a little bit. I was also mm-hmm. thinking about this surprisingly and ironically yesterday because I matched with this guy who's a dom and he's looking for a total power exchange kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Really wants the collar and have like a slave, like a full-time service sub. And I was like, this sounds interesting, but can I do it? You know, like me? Can I do it? You know.
And it's good that you're asking yourself that question because some people would just hop on and be like, ooh, this sounds fun. You check mm-hmm. yourself first. Like, can I be this person for them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then I was doing my Googles because I was like, I need to figure out, you know, what this actually looks like in theory. And I was thinking about the conversation we had with the 24/7 slave. Mm-hmm. I'm remembering how like parts of that sounded good, but realizing it was just that there was actual care in that. Mm. And that as a Black woman, I don't experience care from my partners in that way. Like thinking, I remember a question we asked was like, so if he told you to put on a bikini in the middle of winter, you'd have to do it. And she was like, yeah, but why would he do that? Yeah. Like I'm his property. He takes care of his property in any way. And I was like, whew.
Yeah, that was...
But like knowing that like truly in a healthy dynamic like this, there isn't abuse because they can. And also in something that I was reading is that the power totally comes from the sub in that this person also has a need fulfilled and dominating. I don't know about complete total power exchange because then you kind of like give up all of that. But when we think about partial, like what happens is a part of your boundaries. You get to set the flow because you are the sub and anything mm-hmm. that they encroach past that is abuse, you know. So there is power in that, you know. But nonetheless, do your research, do your Googles, sit and think about, you know, the information you're gathering and see, does it fit? Like, can I see myself trying this? Can I see myself doing this for you, not for this person?
Yeah. Great answer. Great answer. One last thing that I would add is all of the stuff that Akua said and then like constantly check in with yourself. Yeah. Because you might feel like, oh, I'm ready now. And then some shit happens and you're like, oh, I got to reassess this. So.
Yeah. And things come up. You know, what we think about something going in changes as we're in it and navigating. And it's like, oh, I didn't even expect this. Now that this is in play, what now? You know?
Yep. All righty then. Well, coming up. How did we all become homies? But first.
Sometimes it rains on your birthday. Sometimes the line for coffee wraps around the building. Sometimes gas goes up 10 cents. Sometimes life stinks. But the good news is, you don't have to. Ooh. Because Native has your back. Definitely does. Native cares about the products you put on your body. They're about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference. You probably already know about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant, but have you tried their body wash, toothpaste, or their brand new mineral-based sunscreen? Yes. Native now has broad-spectrum SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and body. It's lightweight, absorbs quickly, and you can choose between unscented or coconut and pineapple. Ooh. You know, it always sounds good. I'm not even mad.
It always smells good.
Yes. Native's on a mission to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by putting the care in self-care with products carefully made to work against odor that are made with simple ingredients and smell great. You can get their deodorant and body wash in amazing scents like coconut and vanilla, citrus and herbal musk, lavender and rose, and more. You can even build your own personalized product bundles, mix and match three of your favorite scents, and keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. Stay fresh, stay clean with Native by going to nativedl.com/uprising or use promo code uprising at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's Native, deo.com/uprising or use promo code uprising at checkout for 20% off your first order. And just so y'all know that it's not even a joke.
It's not a game. It's really not a game, son.
Something within reach.
It's not a game.
When we went on vacation, I was laughing because we went into the bathroom and everybody had Native. I have my body wash. It's not a game here. We
love Native. It's a fucking real deal. Many a times in this hot ass summer, hottest summer of your life so far, I've been on dates, like, went for the hug. Ooh, you smell good.
Good.
It's natural deodorant, nigga. It's natural deodorant.
It's natural.
Yeah, that's facts. No. All right, let's get back into questions. The first question, which I feel like diverts a little bit from the second question, is how did y'all meet? And then it's why are y'all so great? But we're going to cut off that part because, you know, we were just born this way, baby.
We are here.
But I would like the how did y'all meet stories and then when everybody felt like they became homies stories, because that's a different thing. So first, how did y'all meet?
Well, we all went to high school together.
Yeah. Akua, I knew you before high school.
Yeah, Sam has this story about knowing me before high school. I don't remember life.
Went to the same elementary school and the same middle school. And our brothers know each other.
Yeah. I remember you. I don't remember you in elementary school. I remember you, though you said I used to borrow your iPod.
You did.
I remember you in junior high school. And I definitely, of course, know and love you from high school. I feel like Sam is the connecting link, or was the connecting link, because I met Rebecca through you in high
school. I can never remember exactly when I met Akua. I just know that one day I didn't know Akua, and then the next day I did.
I knew. And that's just it. And that was
like,
that.
No, you can't tell me the pinpointing point, but it was just like, yeah,
Akua, but I know thought who that is. You knew Akua's baby daddy.
Yes.
But you guys didn't know each other?
No, we didn't know each other.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you did. Okay.
No. I grew up with her baby daddy from around the corner.
Because I was like, I completely forgot about that.
And that was just like, oh, okay. Like, I know who that is. But no, I just didn't know Akua. And then, like, I go, yeah, I know Akua from high school. But, like, I don't remember a time that I didn't know.
So you don't remember in high
school. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really remember the how did I meet for Akua either. Because you was always there.
Was elementary school.
Yeah. I
was always there.
There you go.
And then we were just always hanging out. So
just hovering in the background.
Yeah. How did we meet, Rodeca?
I love this story.
It's so funny because I feel like it's always, I always say it the same exact way. Now, yeah. First day of high school, I think it was the first class, and it was like
English.
Okay, the English, and there's like, there's this person here, and then it was like the whole first day, like science. Four classes.
We had science together.
Yeah. Oh, and what was the last class with B-Rod? I cannot remember whatever class I think that was.
Was that social studies? Or history or some shit like that?
It was like core
shout
classes.
Out to B-Rod, nigga.
Yeah. Did I tell you I matched with him on a dating app once? There you go. I was like, man, you know, I didn't go anywhere. Like, I wasn't playing. I wasn't playing back then. I'm not playing now. But anyway, shout out to B-Rod.
I was still fuck you, B.
Old day, nigga. Bro.
Yo. What's good, Brian? What's good?
But we, like, it was, like, at the end of the day, we saw we had, like, four classes together. It was like, nah, like, we have to. And then we just did. And
we had some very similar sensibilities and
yeah.
stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Because there was other niggas who were in every class, but.
That's true. But it just felt like it.
The same way.
Yeah. And then it's just been like that since freshman year. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would say that I've gotten way closer to Akua in this past trip because me and her were, like, just chilling in the backseat, like, what's your favorite color? What's going on with you? Just like, really, just Akua just says wild shit that is fucking hilarious.
Akua does say wild shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so for context, this past trip, we rented a car, Rob drove. I don't know why y'all niggas put me in the fucking direction seat, because I wouldn't know how to get to my own house if I turned the fucking corner twice. But
I don't know how it turned
up there.
I always sit in the same seat in a car, and this is something that is a fun fact. I sit in the same seat in any car because statistically it is the safest seat in all. So I kind of screwed all y'all. Was like, this is the safest seat. It's behind the driver. So I was like, I always sit
good
there.
To know.
Yeah.
And actually, we actually set you up for that, Sam, because Rodeca would sit in the back, and I know she has like auto-related trauma. So yes. I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want the labor of navigating and being so hyper-vigilant as someone else drove. So I was like, I'm going to get my ass in the back. And that left you, sis.
Not
I'm
set sorry. Me up.
Yeah. Set you up. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing that.
These
I'm
niggas. It really be all fucking niggas.
So we were in the back the whole time and we were just chatting it up. Like, just getting to know each other all over again. And it was really nice. So I think, not that you weren't always the homie, but for sure, definitely us time that was like, I don't think we really get a lot of just me and Akua time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just me and her talking like the whole time. And I really feel like we got like exponentially closer during that trip. Aww.
And I do want you to know that that was also intentional.
Oh, good.
I do that. I go on trips and I'll isolate the person I feel I need to get closer with. And then I make it my mission. That's why Akua don't
spend no time with me on trips.
I'm tired of her. I'm tired. I know too She's much. Like,
come on, man. We already done this.
I need a break. But no, so I isolate the person I feel like I need more time with. And then I make it, you know, I want to know you. I want to feel close. I want to feel like we are not, you know, just podcast hosts. Yeah. That also know each other through Sam. Like, you my nigga. I want, you know, I want that bond.
I felt that. And I appreciated it. So yeah, for sure. That was like a good growing moment for us. And then like lately, Sam, I don't know. I haven't really been feeling your dog. So it's like,
what the fuck is going on, son?
What? We tied.
Anyway, me and Rob met through a mutual friend at the time. I think I was in high school. Yeah, I was in high school and Rob, the friend had a crush on Rob, I think, or they had a mutual thing going on. And now they don't. Me and Rob are fine. Shout out to that person, though, for introducing me to Rob. And me and Rob became homies. So I used to date one of Rob's best friends, and we would just always be in the same space at the same time. So me and Rob just eventually, like, grew to become friends with, like, similar interests and personalities and things like that over time. So that's like when we became homies. What are y'all's Rob stories?
I was just about to say, for me and Rob.
You gay, you awkward.
Yeah, for a while swore that we had met on the first day of recording. And then I think we just saw a photo and was like, is that you, my nigga? Like, we spent the whole night together and did not realize. But we did realize afterwards and was like, oh, snap, we met on the line. And I thought Rob hated me. We rehashed this whole thing on the trip as well. Yeah. And then Rob was just like, I didn't hate you, son. I don't know if they want this business out there, but they were just like, nah, I didn't hate you. So I was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then we did interact because I was just so intimidated by them. And because, you know, they're a gorgeous person. And now we are cool. Like, we built terrariums together and I love their dogs. So, you know, it's a good time. Yeah.
I just want to say I did that. Even before the podcast, I am still the reason that you met. So
that's true.
Bow down.
You are the string that ties us all together.
I'm the plug, as Future said, to be honest. It's a lot of y'all niggas who would be high and dry on the friendship check if it wasn't for me. All right, anyway. And Akua, you want to tie the ass?
This is it right here. You give this bitch an inch, she want to take the whole mile, the whole cord. I met Rob through you. I don't know exactly when or how. It's one day, like Rebecca said, one day I didn't know Rob and then I did. And that was life.
Yeah.
But that's my nigga too.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So does that answer both how we met and also how we became homies?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, cool. Covered. All right. Next question. How has it been navigating your respective friendship dynamics while recording a show together? From Casey Olivia.
I think for me, it was difficult with me and Sam at one point in time because, like, because I don't know, we have like a very casual friendship and now it's like also a business. So then it's just like making sure that like Sam is like the core person of this podcast and she holds it together in so many different ways and it's just like respecting that and making sure like I get scared of Sam often because I don't want to disappoint you, so it's just like I never realized like how much fear it's true, it's just because I just want to do the right thing by you.
We're not
like,
okay
always.
Okay,
yeah, no, it's true. And it's just like, you know, Sam is very serious when it comes to working, so I'm just like All right. I had to learn that Sam does not hate me. She's just look, we're doing this and this is time to do it. So that was like, there was a little bit of time where I was just like kind of doubting whether or not we were really friends.
Oh, I love you.
it's me. So I was just like, that was the toughest part because I feel like, you know, Aku and I interacted before, but we definitely had to step up our interaction more when we were on this show. So that's definitely made our friendship more like, I see you all the time. So it's just like, we're friends. And then with Rob, I met them. I don't care what anybody says. I met them on this podcast. So like, that was the beginning of our friendship. So for me, the biggest like having to maintain a friendship dynamic, kind of go back, was with Sam, because we were friends before that for such a long time. And it was just like, okay, is this friendship strong enough to hold into this podcast? And it definitely is.
So. There's also some interesting nuance there between you and I, because like me and Akua like stayed close throughout high school, and me and Rob were like getting close after high school and stuff like that. Like, I feel like we were becoming not people who knew the same person, but like actual friends outside of that relationship.
Yeah.
But you and me stopped talking for a little bit. And one time you said something very rude to me in college.
I did. I don't even know why.
It's okay. You were going through shit.
Yeah.
And I was going through shit. But yeah, we had like drifted apart for a little bit. So like this podcast was like also
what brought the
beginning
us back together.
A new friendship, and then also just a whole different dynamic, because now we're like partners in creating content.
So. Yeah. I think it was really a surprise for me even getting asked to like try out.
I always think it would be great.
So, but for me, it was just like, oh shit, I get to like interact with Sam again. And that's when it was just like, all right, well, we're putting all of this to the test. And it kind of, I feel like since then we've got to know each other all over again in different ways. And it's definitely been nice, for sure. I feel like without this podcast, I don't know if we would have gotten to the depths of conversations as naturally as we did, like having these conversations and just really deep diving into stuff.
I agree.
So yeah.
Love you.
It's been cool.
Even though I hate your guts. You. Don't kiss me ever.
That's also how we maintain our friendship. I pretend to kiss Sam and then run away. It wasn't a pretend kiss. I did kiss her. It was very disturbing. I'm sorry, guys.
Cool. How about you?
I had a whole answer and then it just like flew out my ears. But I feel like it's, I don't know. I don't feel like there's been any hiccups for you and I specifically, but you could tell me. I've definitely gotten to see a different side of Sam in podcasting, and that there is the Sam I knew before was, I want to say carefree, but we were much enjoyment. We were friends. There wasn't anything to like really be serious and hunker down about.
Yeah.
But this bitch don't play when it comes to her work. Like, she's about deadlines and like it needs to get done. So kind of seeing that, it has given me a, of course, even more well-rounded picture of the Sam that I love, and remembering to navigate that. Like, I also had to get in that headspace and know that this is important to you and it's important to me. And
One of the things, we were close before the podcast, but I think that we've got, we've gotten closer through the podcast. And one of the things that I've always really appreciated was like, even back when I was hosting it with Shanika, like your commitment to it, like Kua wrote in about fucking and cramps. And just like all of her host stories under obviously like a pseudonym or whatever, so you won't be able to track it back to, but like a lot of those initial stories were Akua. And when I was like looking for co-hosts, you were very like, I not only want to help the podcast, but I want to help Sam. And I was like, this bitch, like, I knew she loved me, but this bitch really like loves me and like fucks with like the vision. And like, a huge part of me and being me is like my work and my creativity. So anybody who's like nurturing of that is like, oh my God, wait, you actually know.
I do.
Yeah.
I know I say it 55 million times whenever we're together, but just for you to know, I do. Like, I want you to understand. I do. You too, Rodeca. But I also want to say that like something that was, I don't want to say strange or weird for me, was that in the very beginnings of this podcast, it felt just disjointed. We were all people that came together for this, you know, for this podcast, and were linked through Samantha and really didn't know each other. But we always felt so comfortable sharing such deep parts of ourselves with each other in a room, but then also on recording for all y'all listening. But I sometimes I would sit down like, they really just said that and I'm here. Like they trust me.
Yeah, I feel like the chemistry has always been pretty good.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't know how that happened. I don't know.
That was something where like from day one we would just be, and I wouldn't realize until after I was done that I was like, oh snap, like I just told all of that. And you know, it's to you guys, but then also always like, oh, there's people listening. So but it just flowed so naturally from the beginning for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was never anything that I felt I had to hold back from y'all.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like, I feel like I've gotten closer with all you guys through the podcast. But I feel like that way about Rob too. I feel like y'all would probably agree since we didn't know them very well.
Yeah. Beforehand.
We didn't really know them that well prior. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anybody have anything else to say for that one?
No.
All right. Let's go to question 4 of this one. This is a big one. But first, did you know that people with vulvas are 4 times more likely than those without to say that sex is quote unquote not at all pleasurable in the past year? Mm-mm. We here at the Inner Hoe Uprising are huge advocates for pleasure and find this pleasure gap pretty whack and awfully disturbing. But you know what we don't find whack and disturbing? Dame Products. Dame Products is a woman-owned sex toy company making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators. Founded by a sex educator and engineering whiz, Dame develops toys with the help of real humans and couples like you. They're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. Their vibrators and accessories are made with medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. Whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters or on a journey of self-exploration, we're sure they'll earn a spot on your nightstand. And the best part? Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. In reference to a question that we've got for the Ask Us Anything, one of my favorite sexual experiences this summer has been giving myself multiple orgasms using the Dame Palm Flexible Vibrator. It's good. It's soft and super bendy and has 5 different patterns, 5 different intensities, and is completely waterproof, so you can use it virtually anywhere. You can go to dameproducts.com/IHU today for 15% off site-wide. Again, go to dameproducts.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising today for 50% off site-wide. Now, how can we better manage and maintain friendships when we see our friends engaging in unhealthy patterns in relationships? I feel like I give my all to support them when they are down slash hurt from the situation. And then when they're back up in the mix with the situation, I'm put on the back burner and I see my energy as wasted, but it happens again and again. And I don't want to abandon my friend, but I feel like I'm losing my peace at the same time.
Oof. That is a loaded question. Does anyone want to go first?
I was going to say, I've been the friend that has put people on the back burner when things are going on with me. And then come back like, hey, how are you guys doing? I've been gone for like a year because I'm wrapped up in something. I think it's also a lot of the onus is on the friend to realize and stop that pattern. Like, it's not fair to always put your friends on the back burner or put them through certain things and then expect them to just kind of like go with the motions, because, you know, that support, you can't take that for granted. It's one of those things where I know it's probably hard to be the person who's like, okay, you asked me this advice and I gave you the advice and this happened and then you're surprised. And I would say tough it out if you feel like that person's like really just trying their best but just not seeing it. But if you feel like they're taking advantage, then that's a completely different thing. I guess that's the best way to say it. I hope that made sense. It's just about intention, about whether or not they're like really just down bad and they don't realize it and they need you, as opposed to like, whatever, like I'm gonna do whatever I want and you're just gonna have to deal with it and you know you'll still be my friend at the end of it.
I feel like regardless of the situation, it's also what is your view of being a friend? Because what I'm hearing is that like sometimes we forget that our friends are individuals and we forget to give them agency. And yes, they may be in a bad spot and they come to you for advice and support, but know that they'll take that and still do whatever the hell they want to. How many times will you tell your friend to leave a nigga And they go right back with it. Like, I've helped pack friends up, all types of stuff. And then 2 days later, they back with John. And I'm like, you know, and there would be points where I was exasperated because I wanted them to do as I say, rather than realizing that my job is to support my friend regardless of what the situation is or what they decide to do. I'm going to be there to give you advice that's in your best interest. I'm going to be here to recommend and push you to do things that are in your best interest, but I can't make you do anything. And there's a line here that says, I feel like I give all of my support to them. Maybe we got to scale back on all of our support. We cannot be so self-sacrificial.
Yeah.
To give all your support, because then you are burnt out in this friendship and you are frustrated and you are exasperated because we are running through the cycle of you giving them all your support. They do whatever they choose to do and then come back to refill from you. Maybe we have to scale back some of that support. They give half of it, you know, a quarter. You can still be a supportive friend without being a martyr. And as a person whose love language is acts of service, I struggle with that because I feel like I just got to give all myself to people all the time. But learning that I can be supportive without going to that end. I can listen without even giving advice no more. Mm. I can just listen and go, girl, can't believe he did that. I know it's hard. All right, see you next Tuesday.
And sometimes without that's all the person wants too.
Mm-hmm. Without sharing a single thing about what I think you should do, what's healthy for you. I don't know what the situation is. I'm always going to make it about an ain't shit nigga. But even if it was substance abuse, even if it was mental health, you know, all of it still stands the same in that you can tell what's the person, what is in their best interest, help push them towards what they say they want for themselves. But in the end, that's their battle to figure out and fight. And they're going to make a choice about that. So you have to scale back how much support, how much of your all you're putting in. If you feel that you're being put on, your energy's not being wasted. Being a friend is emotional labor, and I don't think that's ever a waste, even if they don't take what you say. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. It's invaluable. It's unquantifiable. Like, your energy, your time, speaking to someone, listening to them, it's never a waste. Even if, you know, they're on board. How many times do I do therapy? My client's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We check in next Wednesday. They like, girl, I ain't doing that damn thing. And I remember getting exasperated as a therapist. Like, we just had a whole hour. I helped you map it out. We created a schedule. We did all of this. I gave you all these resources. And you ain't been, because somewhere in there, they put foot to ground. It didn't work out. And that's okay. But that hour of breaking it down and speaking to them, encouraging them, was not a waste just because it didn't come out the way I thought it should. It was still very valuable and helpful to them, and we just got to keep going. So I don't think your energy is a waste, but speak to your friend about feeling like you're not being prioritized in a way that you would like, you know, because that is something that they'll have to get better at to maintain your friendship and prioritizing your friends. No one should feel like they're dropped for someone else and then picked up at a whim, because you too are a person who has needs and expectations in this friendship.
Definitely, definitely. I agree with both answers, and we shall be moving on to a question about hot, holier-than-thou sexual experiences. This might be our last question. Hello, hot hoes. This is from, of course, Melaho. Gotta love her.
Love her.
Did any of you have a fascinating, mind-blowing, make-you-want-to-holler sexual experience on your getaways or just during this summer? Doesn't matter if human or chargeable toys. If yes, please explain.
No.
Not no.
No. Yeah, for me, no. This has been like the least sexy summer for me. Oh, no. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard out here.
When was the last sex party you went to?
The last one that I went to was, I think I want to say 2 weeks ago. Yes.
But it wasn't hot, holier than now. It was cold,
no,
sinful.
I got to tell y'all, because there was another podcaster there too. We'll talk about that another time. But yeah, it was very much because they were there. I was kind of on edge. And I was
somebody
like,
that we know?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so curious now.
Yeah, so intrigued. I think the interesting thing is I don't think that they knew that I was there. But definitely because of the fact that like they were there, I was kind of being like low key.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not you, like a Joe in the hat. From
yeah,
the Netflix
very much
series.
Like, please don't notice me. Like, I'm gonna pretend like I don't see you. And then like when I did try and do something, it was very much like It's nerve-wracking. I don't have a penis, so I don't know what that's like, but I know very much, like, performance anxiety is a very common thing. People usually, like, pop Viagras before they do a play party like it's hotcakes, because it's just, like, a lot of the time the pressure of people watching you or just being in that environment. So unfortunately, like, while they were very, like, I had cool vibes with them, like, the actual sex part didn't really pan out because they weren't able to keep it up. So it's just like, I was like, hey, you know, it happens. And I don't know why it feels so bad when someone's like, thank you for understanding, and they seem like very much like shocked, and it pains me because I'm just like, yeah, like, I don't know what that's like. I can't tell you. I probably do the same thing or worse. I don't know. So it's like, I can't tell you anything at all. Like, I know that the intention is there and it is what it is. Like, I feel sexy. I still feel like we had a good time. So I don't want you to think that there's anything wrong with what's going on right now. It just happens sometimes. And it's been a lot of that, actually. So it's been just kind of talking to the people through stuff, but no, like, mind-blowing more orgasms for me or experiences.
Damn, son. Where'd you
but, you know, that magic wand, still be hitting over here. So regardless, we go nut over here, okay?
So this is new to y'all ears. Uh-oh. Not just y'all the listeners, but y'all the hoax. I ain't tell no one. So your girl got some dick the other day.
Was that what you were doing out till 6 a.m. when you had to share your location?
No, that was not what I was doing at 6 a.m. It was what I was trying to do, but okay. No. It was actually earlier that morning of that day, I guess.
Okay.
So the celibacy has been broken. The universe has allowed things, and it was a good time.
Yes.
I don't know if we have more time for like a full story, but
maybe we talk about it on the next episode of Inner Hoa Uprising. Pull a real Dragon Ball Z on these motherfuckers. All right, where's my little end thing? Okay, yeah, we're gonna leave it there for this episode. Stay tuned for next week to find out more about summer updates from IHU, how we set boundaries with listeners, balancing a podcast with personal life, questions about romance, kua fucking, who Sam not fucking, all these kinds of things and more next week.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoa Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoa Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoa Uprising, CUMMU. UNITY, and head to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe. My personal Instagram is The Darkest Timeline. I also made another Instagram because I guess we'll talk about it in the next episode, but I'm getting surgery and I wanted to not have my regular Instagram be flooded with stuff like that. So if you want to follow that journey, it is BeccaBouncesBack_.
All right, you guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on virtually all the socials.
Slam Rid on all of the socials, Carmen San Diego on Instagram for the post about my travels that I'll be making pretty soon. So yeah, have a good one, because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Bye.